Thanks for sharing that, Brother Mose. That really is a good, flows well with the way I plan to start this morning. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Oh Lord, we need you. We need you more than we even know. And you know how to meet our needs, Lord. Help us to see the same vision that you have. Help us to know and understand your word. And just guide us this morning and encourage us and strengthen us in you. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want to speak on this morning is endurance. Before we start on endurance, we're going to back way up to creation. You know, when God created the world, it was a perfect place. Men's hearts were perfect. He created man. His heart was toward him. And I want you to think of your heart sort of like a river. Think of your heart as God created in the beginning with Adam and Eve. Think of your heart as a river that flows right toward God. You know, Adam and Eve's hearts were like flowing towards God. They didn't have to try hard to come to God. That was almost their instinct. That was what they loved. Their hearts were turned toward God. There was no need for endurance back then. Before they met the devil and before they fell into sin, there was no need really for that much endurance. They were enjoying life and they enjoyed it in the presence of God. But when sin came into the world, that changed the whole picture. Their hearts then flowed away from God. And in fact, their whole environment drew them away from God. Their heart, their tendency of their lives was to, their heart was to depart from God. And today we find ourselves in a world that as a big river is flowing away from God. The tendency of our heart, the natural tendency of man, without definitely without Christ, without God, is away from the Lord. And by the power of God, we can have hearts that are turned toward Him, but we're like in a river that flows away from God. And we're in paddle boats. Everybody's in the river. Every man, every child, every woman is placed in the river. The river of this natural life. And no matter how hard you want to paddle, you can try to paddle as hard as you can by your own strength, and you'll never get closer to the Lord. It's a hopeless situation. At the end of the river is eternal death. The end of the river, there's eternal death. Everyone in the world, without the power of God, is flowing towards that eternal death. Towards that great falls into eternal destruction, into hell. And so that's why God, in His great mercy, sent the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus gave His life on the cross. And through faith and belief in Him and following Him and believing in Him and through faith in Him, through repentance, there is power to go towards the Lord, towards Jesus Christ, towards heaven. But it's not necessarily it's not in our own physical might. But it's with the power of God. And yet we are still, I believe there's paddling that goes on. There's rowing that goes on in the midst of that. Because we have to keep ourselves facing the Lord. And I think that is our biggest responsibility in life. It's not our power that draws us closer to God, but it is our responsibility to keep ourselves face toward God. And as long as we are face toward God, He will give us the power to draw close to Him. Even though that big river we're in, the world and our own tendencies are flowing swiftly to destruction, we can, through the power of God, there's overcoming power to overcome that flow and draw closer and closer to God and closer to our full salvation, our finished salvation. Well, endurance. We want to look at endurance. And of course, you could say, what are we enduring for? Well, we want to endure in the Lord. You know, there's different things we could endure in. We all appreciate things that endure. We all like vehicles that endure. If they can get 500,000 miles, if we're willing to keep them that long, you know, if they just keep running and running, and you fix them a little bit here or there, but they just keep going, we're pretty, you know, if it's a car that does that, that's really something. If it's a truck, you might get 1,000,000 miles. You know, they just go and go. We are impressed with that. We're impressed with endurance. The world is impressed with endurance. They like to see things that endure, things that last. That's a natural tendency, natural desire. And believe it or not, the world really, they really appreciate Christians that endure. I say maybe not the spirit of the world, but people out there, when they look at Christians, they really don't want to see somebody that's just like them. I've had neighbors that weren't necessarily godly that helped me, that challenged me, I should say, in my choices. One man told me one time, he noticed I did something a little different than what my dad had done. And he said, you know, he said, your dad never allowed money to influence his choices. At least in what he believed was right. And what I had done wasn't, I don't think it was anything wrong with it, but he was a little bit, I think he was a little disappointed in a way that I had chosen something. But anyway. And I've asked others already, other neighbors, other friends I know. One was a Christian. One was somebody who was an evangelical Christian. And I believe he really loved the Lord. And I asked him what he thought about people that changed. You know, conservative people that changed and sort of drew towards maybe more like more like the society. What he thought of that, whether that was an encouragement to him or whether he thought that was a good thing or how he felt. And he said, no, he said, that's a discouragement. He said, that's not an encouragement at all. He said, that's disappointing. When we see people that are diligently serving the Lord and they and their practice is consistent. And I'm not saying that there's never room for any change, but he said when they have the mentality that, well, we should be a little more like the world to win the world, that was, he said that he couldn't, he said that was discouraging to him. So we're not really helping anybody when we go towards our fleshly desires, thinking that, well, we can maybe win some more people by changing the way we dress or something like that. Let's have our hearts right. I'm not saying there's never a chance, a reason to change anything in our life. If it's a change, let it be towards the Lord and towards His will in our lives, and not to satisfy the flesh. We are in a desert. We're like in a desert. This world is like a desert. And we are called by God as we surrender our lives to Him and accept salvation through our Lord Jesus. We're called to be a gardener in this desert. And God has provided the water and the seed. And the power to grow, to have a garden in a desert. And it's just not enough to just go take the seed God's given us and plant it in that dry earth and sit back in your lawn chair. That's not enough. Is that believing God? Not really. And it's not just enough to water it, plant it, and then water it, and let the weeds grow and choke it out, and no fruit come out of it. Is that believing God? Not really. But when a true gardener, you could call yourself a gardener. You could have the seed sitting beside you in the when you're sitting in the lawn chair. Of course, it's no lawn there anyway, but it's a bunch of sand, dry dirt. You could have the seed sitting there. Call it the Bible, whatever. You could have it sitting there. You could have the water there. But if there's no action taken, you're not a gardener. Even though you might look like one, someone took a picture of you with your seed and your water, you're not a gardener. A true gardener will produce fruit. He'll have a crop to harvest. Well, God wants us to have a crop. God wants us to produce fruit. To believe. Remember this, that to believe in Jesus, the Bible says, believe and be baptized and thou shalt be saved. That covers everything. If you believe in Jesus, that covers the repentance. That covers all the details of following the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just a thing in your mind. If you believe, that covers all the details. It's talking about all the details. It includes everything. You can't call yourself a gardener when you're not doing what God wants you to do. If you're not being a gardener. Well, that's an illustration. Illustrations are very interesting, but they're very limited. And we can use illustrations to demonstrate a little part of something here and a little piece of something there. But don't ever use an illustration to try to cover the whole realm of faith in the Lord Jesus. It just doesn't work that way. That can actually lead you astray. The Sadducees did that. They went to Jesus. They said, they didn't believe in the resurrection for some reason. They didn't see enough. They didn't think there was enough proof in the Old Testament that they had. I give them a little more. They have a little more reason maybe than what we do by far to believe that, even though there wasn't real reason if they were honest and open before God. They came and said, now look, listen to this story. They told Jesus, said, no, there was seven brothers, and the first one had a wife and didn't have any children, and the law says that you're supposed to take your brother's wife and raise up children for him if he passes away with no children. Well, they all seven had her, and they said, now in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? They thought they had him. But their illustration wasn't good. It didn't prove anything. I thought of bringing out another illustration, ones that some people use when they say that, if you're saved once, then you're always saved no matter what. And just like they said, just like if you have a son and he goes against your will and goes off into the world and does what you don't want him to do, he's still your son. He said, well, yes, he is. But they didn't bring in the fact. The other side is they also say, well, if he does that, he probably never was. If you do fall away into sin, you probably never were a child of God. So where does that picture come in? You know, if my son doesn't do what I want to, maybe he never was my son. Let's go on to other things now. Endurance. Let's turn to James 5, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Behold, we count them happy which endure. There's a blessing, or could you say that we count them blessed that endure? Are people that endure always having a lot of fun? Is that what they're talking about? That's what how they count them happy, because they're having a good time all the time. No. We know that that's not the way it is. Endurance is continuing on, no matter what the circumstances are. Even if there's some failure, we get back up and go at it again with the help of God. And in the end, there is happiness. And many times in life, there is a happiness and joy and peace. There is peace. God does give us peace, but it's not easy on our flesh. There is happiness. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You know, back when I was young, I don't know if it's just probably some still goes on today somewhat, but it seems like there's a lot of young men that like to arm wrestle. Maybe just even a little before me, right, the group I was with, I don't think it was done that much. It was a little bit, but it seemed like the ones that were just a little older than me yet, it seemed like there was a lot of arm wrestling done. These young men, they'd get together, you know, they'd see who could beat the other. And you know, sometimes you'd run up on somebody that they would just hang in there a long time. I mean, there was just, they were both about the same strength, supposedly, but someone would say, yeah, but he has more endurance than the other one. And the only way he could win was just by hanging on and keeping on until the other was wore out. That's endurance. To the end. Endure to the end. In Matthew 24, verse 13 says, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. I'm going to turn to that and read the whole verse. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 13. Well, I'm going to start in verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's our day. That's us. That's in our time. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Endurance. Another, we talked about gardening a little bit. In James 5, verse 7, it talks about the husbandman, the farmer. It says, behold, the husbandman waiteth for precious fruit. Let me read more of that verse. James 5, verse 7. I'm going to start in verse 6. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You think of planting crops. There's so many different crops that can be raised, and they all take some patience. It's not like the picture I saw on a farm magazine one time. Had the planter going through the field, and behind it, the corn came up, and by the time it was the picture, the other side of the picture, it was fully matured. It doesn't work that way. That was just used for an illustration, I guess, or just an interesting thing. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you plant cucumbers or squash, those are pretty fast. But it still takes patience. Some of my little brothers would plant, they had their little patches out in the around the buildings, a little patch where they'd plant a few seeds, and they might plant beans or something like that. They come up fast, you know. They come up and they get about this tall, and let's chop them down. Plant something different. They'd chop them down. They didn't have patience. They didn't have the patience. They didn't endure till the plants produced fruit. Then you think of something like fruit trees. Well, that even takes longer yet, a few years. Pineapples. I'm not sure which plant takes the longest. I think there's some out there that take 5 years or more. I'm not sure. But patience, endurance. You know, you don't even, those fruit trees, you don't just plant them and then just go on vacation for 2 years. There's work that needs to be done. There's tending. Patience, patience, patience. Endurance. I like endurance almost I think patience means the same as endurance. But patience, and to me, tends to have more of the feel of sitting down, watching, or just waiting for a while. Whereas endurance to me feels more like toiling on toward that time. But I think patience in the real meaning does mean the same thing. Endurance. You could use the illustration of picking a crop. You know, some crops are hard to pick. Well, they're small. Maybe it's peas or something like that. And or maybe even something smaller. And maybe you have a long row. And you know what needs to be picked. If you're going to endure, you're going to focus on picking and doing a good job. And you're not going to sit there looking at the end of the row and thinking about how long it's going to take to get done. In fact, from my experience, I've had a few things that come to my mind when I think of endurance. There's a few times in my life where that was really kind of put to the test. We had a crop that we had to pull weeds out of, and it wasn't just a few acres. It wasn't just a little plot. It was like 50 acres. And me and my brothers and sisters got out there, and we were on our hands and knees pulling this stuff out a lot of the time. And we went on and on. I think we worked several weeks, day after day. It didn't pay to sit there and look how long the rows were or how much more you had to do yet. The best thing you could do is look at the next weed, the next thing that needed to be done, and just keep going. Or look at the next bean bush that needs to be picked and just keep going. And it helps to be rejoicing in the Lord and visiting with others if you can do that too. But endurance. And that is so much what we need nowadays. You know, don't look out. It's like my brother-in-law said one time. He lived in Alaska for a while, and right after he moved up there, they were just so terribly busy that they built 35 houses in a short period of time. And he said, I don't even like to think back. When I think back to what all we did, it makes me tired. And to think of doing something ahead, you know, if looking back is discouraging, don't do it. In fact, Jesus says don't look back. How can we endure? How can we endure? We know we need to endure. No, we need to start right. Start like Jesus said in Luke 9:62. There again, I want to start in verse 61. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We need to start out. If we're going to start out in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to keep our eyes toward God. What kind of a trip do you think you'd experience if you, about the moment you left, You say, oh, if I could only stay home. And there might be times you'd think that. I'm sure there is. Somebody, I'm sure, has thought that. And it might be okay to think that for a little bit and get by with it. But you soon have to change your mind. Soon have to look forward to what you're going, where you're going, what you're doing. If you're always thinking about, if only I had stayed home, if only I had stayed home, every little thing that doesn't go perfect on the trip would be another reason you should have stayed home. And you won't be looking forward to what you're, where you're going. You won't have your interest in there. You'll just be focused on whatever you left back home. Well, Jesus says, you have to look forward. You have to look at where you're going. You have to look at what there is to do. You know, there is a reason why the rearview mirror in your car is smaller than your windshield. There is a reason for that. What if your windshield was this big? Your rear view mirror was like way big. You could hardly see where you're going. The focus would be what's behind you. It doesn't work. And it's not just when you start that you need to keep your focus ahead. It's all through life. It says, Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. How are you going to accomplish anything if you're looking back like this all the time? You won't. How are you going to do the will of God? How are you going to endure like that? You won't. Well, endurance is definitely not like hopping on a train and sleeping till you get there, is it? Yeah, that's another illustration. A train can be an illustration of salvation a little bit. It's nothing. We surrender our whole life and we hop on with the Lord Jesus Christ in a way. In that way, surrender is about the only way a train really demonstrates salvation, maybe. You're on with Him. You're following Him. But as far as endurance and diligence, we need a different illustration. Another way we can endure, that helps us to endure, is by testifying with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Testifying with our mouth the Lord Jesus. In Acts 8, verse 4, it says, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And of course, we hear that the church grew, multiplied greatly. There's just something God has put in us that, I guess it's because it's His will, that if we don't share, if we keep everything to ourselves and try to just take care of our own little details in life and not reach out to anybody, not minister to anybody, we kind of dry up after a while. We lose the whole purpose, the whole meaning, the whole vision of God. Because it's more than just us. It's more than just about me. And we get discouraged and we get depressed because all we see is our own, all we're in a little shell. But as you all realized when you went to New York, and as you realized, as you don't have to go to New York, as you testify to your neighbors, those you meet along the way, just rejoicing in the Lord and ask Him, do you know my Jesus? Do you know Him? Are you saved? And testify of our experience. That is very encouraging to us. That helps us to endure. And it's also planting seed for the Lord. And of course, it goes beyond our mouth. But living a life, testifying with our life, the Lord Jesus. Another way we can endure is by knowing the Scripture. Matthew 22:29. I read that already this morning, but maybe not. Matthew 22:29 has to do with the Sadducees. Oh yes, I had mentioned that before. Verse 28, they said, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall he be of the seven? For they all had her. And Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. You know, we should desire to know the Scriptures. We should make an effort to know the Scriptures. We should need to ask God to help us know the Scriptures. And allow true believers to help us know. And seek out the truth about what others are saying about the Scriptures. You know, we should know the Scriptures. No, we won't know them all maybe right away. Or we're always continuing. We should be always continuing to know the Scriptures better. And when someone says something that it never says in the Bible, such and such and such, do we check it out? Is that the truth? Even the little bit that the Old Testament says about the resurrection, Jesus told them. They didn't have the New Testament yet. Yet Jesus said, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures. Nor the power of God. The power of God. Just like our sister Joyce was mentioning last Sunday, she turned to the power of God for her situation and her condition. She asked God to help her. She could have left God out of the picture. I don't know where she would be. Miserable. But God, the power of God is there. And God wants us to ask. Some of us brothers were visiting together a few Sundays back and we were discussing something and how it would be possible. It just doesn't really look like this would work on a certain situation. And then we said, well, where's the power of God? Where does it come in? We talk about these mountains that God can move. Well, God wants to move all the mountains that are hindering you from knowing Him and from being His child. And He wants us to ask. And that's part of enduring, is asking God. Asking God. Jesus told His disciples, up to now you haven't asked me anything. God wants us to ask. That's why He gave us a free will. That He might have some hearts that seek after Him. Can't you just see the Lord creating man? Now we're going to do something wonderful here. Instead of like an animal or something or an angel that just always praises me. We're going to have some choice involved here. And of course, God, He's the Creator. He's all powerful. There's nothing out of His control. He's looking down upon these people. Oh, please, people here, believe me. Believe me. Listen to me. Follow me. Don't give up. Yes, you're in a terrible world. You're in a desert. Yes, the river's flowing the wrong way. There's a purpose in that. I want your true heart. I want you to seek me. I want you to seek me. I don't want it just be because you have to. I want you to feel your need of me. And God comes so close. You know, He comes so close to just about making us. As close as He can. I'm amazed with that. He comes almost as close as He can, just almost to the point where we have to, but no, it's still our choice. He reaches way, way, way down. The power of God. Do we know the power of God? No, we don't really know it to the fullest extent. But do we know and trust and believe that God's power is all we need? Everything there that we need is there. Let's give recognition to the power of God in our thoughts. You know, as we go through the day, we think things. Whatever we think, let's remember that the power of God. God is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let's give recognition to the power of God in our speech and our actions and in prayer. Asking God to move. Asking God to perform His will. And you know, we hear that verse. Whatsoever ye ask in the name of Jesus, believing, ye shall receive. And our carnal minds think, go down to as low as I'd like to have a can of Pepsi. Come on. That's not really... And yet God cares about the little things too. He really does care about the things we need. And if we are in a dire situation where we need some water, God cares about that too. But it's so much greater than that. Whatsoever ye ask, believing. And that believing, I think, is believing and knowing that it's God's will. I'm depressed. It's not God's will for me to be depressed. I'm tempted to sin. I know it's not God's will for me to sin. I'm tempted to be, I lack boldness to speak for the Lord. We know that it's God's will for us to, and He can give us the power and all that we need. And in every situation of life, we can think of the most difficult situations. Relationship situations. Being tortured. Difficult things. God's power is there. It's available. He wants us to ask. If I was being tortured, to me, I can't imagine being tortured. Somehow I just can't quite imagine. I'm not going to try that much. I don't think it's good for us to think about it all the time, you know, to try to imagine how we would relate in this circumstance. We have no idea. Anyway, God doesn't want us to worry about that. But to know that we can ask, and God can give us power to go through every circumstance that we need, that we meet. So Lord, help each one of us to endure. Remember, this life is not about just a little shell that we put ourselves in. It's about the Lord, and it's about people's salvation. It's about encouragement and helping each other endure. One thing I failed to mention was another thing that really helps us endure is by being together like we are today, encouraging one another. May the Lord bless each one of you.
Thank you, Ken. Good subject for our day. And may God strengthen us for that very thing, because it's a very necessary thing that we continue on and endure. I had to think of the long rows. My brother Ken, when I was a boy, I could sure relate to what you were talking to, pulling weeds or hoeing weeds in a 15-acre field, and about 10 rows to the acre, and they were long. But I thank God that as a young man that taught me endurance. Many other illustrations of life I'm sure we could give on that, but may God help us there. All right, anyone else who would like to share, raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you. And have a further word for us, testimony. Brother Carl over there.
Yeah, well, it's good to be back here with you all again. Amen. I missed you the last 2 weeks, and I won't share a lot about the trip now at least, but I do bring greetings back from Brother Francis, especially
thank
you, Brother Mose. He remembered you very well and
Yes. Decided
it's time to get you to come back to Ghana again sometime.
Amen.
I'm really blessed to be here this morning too, and thinking about the messages that God brought our way here today. And I think they mesh with considering our use of time,
and
persevering and enduring to the end. They go hand in hand. I remember well as a young man when I was actually in Ghana with Brother Mel Esch, and I think it was Troyer, who's now at Muddy Pond. What's his first name? And we were having a discussion there, three young men not yet married, about what are the things that really matter in life. And I distinctly remember out of that discussion, I came to the realization that there's only two things that Scripture holds forth as things that are going to endure forever.
Mm-hmm.
And one is the souls of men. Souls of men are going to live on forever and ever. And the other is the Word of God. And in subsequent years, understanding that the Word of God is first Jesus Himself as Logos, and then the written Word, Scripture is the written Word, then it becomes incumbent upon me to understand how am I using my time in relation to those two things.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe as we make choices, everyday choices in our lives, in light of those two realities, it is only the souls of men and the Word of God that are going to live forever. How am I daily investing myself in forwarding those things in relation to other people? And I believe that will give endurance to our lives. I also wanted to just comment on that thing of technology. I really appreciated that coming up, because that is something that I think we must continually be looking at in our own lives as this whole technological world is evolving.
Yes.
It is a tool that can greatly enhance our lives in many ways, but we must have discipline in the use of it. And I actually am increasingly convinced that the secret, both for our young people and for each of us, wherever we are in the age scale, to serving God faithfully and enduring, if I can put it that way, through the onslaught of technology, is to be so grounded in God and in our walk with Him that we know where we are going.
Right.
So that even though the danger exists here, and I can be well aware that it's there, and I could go there if I wanted, if I chose to, but I don't want to because it will keep me from going where God wants me to go. And when we have that settledness in our hearts, and it comes by the help of the Spirit of God, as Brother Brian said, we are able to walk in victory in these things. And I'm really jealous that we learn to do that, because in that is how we're going to endure to the end.
Amen.
And as we find so many around us falling away and
yes.
compromising and backing off from what seemed to be once a commitment they had, how can we save ourselves from that? It is by that Holy Spirit commitment to God and to His Word.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.